This podcast was first broadcast on Mix 92.6. Go to mix92.6.com to find more Environment Matters podcasts. And if you enjoy what we do, to find out how you can support the station, which is run entirely by volunteers. I hope you enjoy the podcast. Welcome to Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around Hertfordshire and from further afield. Now, first of all, a quick update from last week's show. You'll remember that Andrew Lamborn of the campaign group Ladacan told us about their legal challenge to the expansion of Luton Airport due to their concerns about such expansion's impact on greenhouse gas emissions and the local environment and the health impacts of additional noise and air pollution. Now, last Monday, the High Court ruled in favour of the Secretary of State's decision earlier this year to overturn the advice of the planning inspectors and to permit a near doubling in the annual number of passengers using Luton Airport. Now, needless to say, campaigners are disappointed and they are now considering an appeal. They say that the outcome matters not only for Luton, but for every future airport proposal in the UK. And they add that this is a watershed moment with the cost of climate change damage increasing and still no realistic and proven pathways to decarbonise aviation. And they urge anyone who cares about reducing the environmental impacts of aviation to donate to their crowdfunding appeal, which you'll find a link for in the notes that went with the podcast of last week's show and that you'll find on the podcast page of mix92.6.com. Now, later on, we're going to hear about the free, zero-carbon, healthy treat for everyone this Christmas. Oh, you're wondering what that is, aren't you? But first, the marvellous Greenhouse Climate Club testing panel have been back in action, testing eco products so that we don't have to. Now, just to remind you, the Greenhouse is the eco hub at 46 London Road in St Albans, and their Climate Club is a bunch of super keen, super cool 7 to 12 year olds who meet at the Greenhouse every month. So, what did they test for us this month? Well, let's find out from Climate Club member Leonardo Cinquemani and Leonardo's mum, Virginia. Leonardo, Virginia, thank you so much for coming to the studio today to join me on Environment Matters. Now, Leonardo, just to start with you, the Climate Club, can you just tell us a little bit about it and why you enjoy going to it?
I enjoy it because when we go, we have lots of little activities that we do and we join into campaigns. Recently, we're doing the Cleaner Air campaign and we've done some campaigning at the co-op.
Fantastic. That sounds really good. And does it make you feel good campaigning and making a real difference?
Yes.
Yeah. And do you care about the climate?
Yes.
Magic. Okay. So you've recently been doing some tasting. Can you tell us what you have been tasting?
Hot chocolate.
Okay. And it wasn't just any hot chocolate, was it? This was vegan hot chocolate. Why was it vegan?
Because it had no milk in it.
Okay. And do you like hot chocolate?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So it's good to find out what other types of hot chocolates are like then. So how did you test it then?
What we do is we drink it and taste it. Then we have this sheet that has questions like, was the whipped cream creamy? Would you buy this with your pocket money? Stuff like that.
Okay, then. And did you just test one type of vegan hot chocolate?
Oh, we only tested one, and then we also tested vegan whipped cream with it.
Okay. Oh, that does sound very good, doesn't it? So, what did you think about the vegan hot chocolate to start off with? Was it nice and creamy?
Yes, and it actually tasted really well.
Okay, that sounds good. Did it taste very chocolatey?
Yes.
Chocolatey enough?
Not enough.
You'd like it more chocolatey. Okay, then. Was it as good as the hot chocolate you'd normally have?
Medium.
sort of the same then. And how about the vegan whipped cream? Did that make the hot chocolate nicer?
It did. It melted and then it tasted really nice. But there were, it felt sweet. It was a bit sweet.
It was a bit sweet? Okay. That's quite interesting. And how about the rest of the tasters? Did they enjoy the vegan hot chocolate as well?
Most people did.
Okay. And was there anything that they didn't like about the hot chocolate?
Some people didn't like that it didn't have much chocolate in it.
Right. Okay. So lack of chocolatiness could be an issue. So perhaps you could add your own cocoa powder or chocolate to it if you wanted more chocolatiness.
Yeah.
Okay, I can see there's some ideas being coming up here. Mum Virginia is there smiling, yes. Thinking, what have we started now? I'm very sorry there. So, if you were to score the vegan hot chocolate out of 10, how many marks would you give it?
8.
You give it 8? Oh, that's pretty good then, isn't it? And how about the vegan whipped cream for the top?
9.
A 9 for that. And if you were spending your pocket money on the vegan hot chocolate with the vegan whipped cream, would you be happy to spend your money buying it?
Yes.
Marvellous. So, will you be drinking vegan hot chocolate with whipped cream at home then?
I don't know.
Do you hope so?
Hope.
You hope so. Well, it sounds like it will be a lovely thing to have after you've been out perhaps for a chilly walk over Christmas. So thank you for tasting that for us and telling us that perhaps it could do to be a bit chocolatier. But apart from that, you'd recommend the vegan hot chocolate with vegan whipped cream. Leonardo, Virginia, thank you very much indeed for joining me.
Thank you.
Bye.
Now, I've also been doing a bit of vegan hot chocolate research for you. Now, the things that I've found are rather more expensive, but that extra money does seem to buy you a lot more chocolatiness that Leonardo and his Climate Club fellow tasters felt was somewhat missing in their standard vegan hot chocolate offering. First up, I popped into Knoops. It's a hot chocolate shop chain, and it's got just one shop in Hertfordshire, in St Albans, and I spoke to Jack. Thank you, Jack, if you're listening. He showed me that they have a huge selection of vegan hot chocolates available, most of which were in the darker, very much more chocolatey types, but they also have a 38% cocoa solids non-dairy hot chocolate, which they say has a smooth, buttery richness. They also have every type of vegan milk available. Now, Knoops say that they work with only a handful of chocolate makers, both large and small, who are genuinely committed to improving the sustainability of their cocoa. But I don't see a certification for their chocolate anywhere, so we'll just have to take their word for it. So, a good selection, a luxury offering, and very much as chocolatey as you would want. And another way to get your luxury vegan hot chocolate hit is from Hotel Chocolat, using their special hot chocolate velvetizer machine. Now, it's quite an investment, but the reviewers seem to absolutely love it. As to sustainability, well, they've a lot on their website about how they produce their cocoa beans using what they call gentle farming. Looks encouraging, with them saying that they plant shade trees to help biodiversity and they're banning tree felling on their plantations, but again, no certification. Well, if you've got any comments on vegan hot chocolates that you've tried, do get in touch and I'll share them via email. I'm on amanda.yorth@mix926.com or look for Environment Matters on Mix92.6 on X and on Facebook. Now, a warming mug of vegan hot chocolate might be just what you need whilst taking part in this year's 12 Days Wild. The invitation to do one wild thing for 12 days over Christmas. Let's find out more from the Hearts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust's Amy Trotter. So, Amy, we've been used to 30 Days Wild right in the middle of summer, but we've got 12 Days Wild from the Wildlife Trust, which runs from Christmas Day for 12 days, like the 12 days of Christmas, I suppose. So is this something just to keep the kids occupied whilst they're off school, or is this something you're hoping adults will join in with as well?
So this is something that everybody can get involved in. There are lots of different activities. What will happen is when you sign up, you can sign up on our website through heartswildlifetrust.org.uk. and you'll receive a digital pack which contains lots of interesting things. But you will also get an email each day from between the 25th of December to the 5th of January for those 12 days with suggestions of activities that you can do.
Okay, and it's not just colouring activities or, you know, as I say, child-friendly things. It's something that we will appreciate doing as well as we're a little bit older.
Definitely, yeah. So the wild acts could be small things to help nature, like recycling your Christmas tree or feeding the birds, or ways to connect to the natural world, like trying stargazing, for example. So obviously you can be any age to do any of those things. We try and make it open for any age to be able to take part in this, but the idea behind it is that it's a bit of fun during that time between Christmas and New Year, where we really want to try and get people out. A lot of people might be on annual leave, and it's just a great way to get people outside doing something for nature.
Yeah, indeed. And I suppose it's a time of year when we can, I suppose, particularly benefit from getting outside, can't we?
Yes, yeah, in the darker days, it's definitely a great idea to get out more into nature if you can, because it will boost your mental health. And if you can meet up with friends and family as well, then that's obviously going to be a great way to socialise and improve your mental health too.
Yeah, and also it's a time when, I suppose, being straight after Christmas, it has been quite a sort of materialistic focused time, hasn't it? So I suppose it's nice instead to sort of chill and focus on the natural world too.
Yes, and it's free. So what better thing to do after Christmas? Try and save some pennies, get out, do something for nature and your mental health, but it's absolutely free.
Yeah, marvellous. What's not to like about that, hey? So, Amy, obviously this is in the middle of winter. You've given us a few nice ideas of things that we could do to connect with nature during the 12 days wild, things like stargazing. But it's not a time of year when we can really go out and, you know, look for flowers or walk barefoot across the grass or whatever. So how about a few more really wintry nature things that we could have a go at?
Yeah, of course. So, for example, it could be that one of the suggestions is to look for winter wonders, such as mistletoe in the trees. Sometimes people don't actually know what that looks like. They're big clumps that form in the trees. And with the leaves no longer on the trees during winter, that is very easy to spot mistletoe, but it's quite easy to assume that they're nests, for example. You could look to identify winter birds as well and learn their calls. And also a great one, if we get snow, is to look for different animal tracks within the snow as well and learn what they are.
Yes. And you can actually, if we don't get snow, that works in mud, I find, yes, as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So whatever the winter weather, you can do a bit of nature tracking there, can't you? That sounds lovely. And I also really like the idea of listening to the birds. As listeners will know, I'm a great fan of the Merlin Birdsong app, and I found it's just a wonderful way to learn more about birds. And, well, you know, between Christmas and New Year would be a wonderful time to get that started and really boost your bird knowledge, ready for more bird watching when lots of migrant birds come back in the summer, wouldn't it?
Yes,
sounds lovely, Amy. It really does. As you say, we sign up online. You've got all the resources there, so lots of things to keep us interested. Just tell me, Amy, you're fairly new to the Wildlife Trust. Have you ever taken part in 12 Days Wild?
Yes, I signed up to it last year, actually, and it was absolutely great. It was lovely for me to do activities on my own, but also for my children as well, who range in age from 14 to 24 now. So, yeah, it's great to be able to do with the whole family, but also on your own if you need some solitude.
Yes, which by that time of year, quite a lot of us do, don't we? Amy, thank you so much for telling us about that today.
You're welcome. Thank you.
I was talking there to Amy Trotter of the Herts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust. I think that 12 Days Wild is a marvellous idea. Costs nothing, no consumerism involved. It's good for our health and well-being and feels like the perfect antidote to all the pressure to buy things and go places and spend money that the run-up to Christmas has become. And I'm looking forward to joining in. And I'd love to hear if you will be too. And if you do join in, what kind of wildness are you getting up to? Via email, I'm on amanda.yorworth@mix926.com, or look for Environment Matters on Mix 92.6 on X and on Facebook. Now, looking forward to the new year for a moment, if your house is feeling rather chilly, or your energy bills are too big, or you'd like to reduce your greenhouse gas emissions, then you might be interested to know about the Sustainable St Albans Thermal Imaging Camera Hire. Now, the depths of winter is the ideal time to use one of these cameras. Sustainable St Albans has thermal imaging cameras for residents in the city and district of St Albans to borrow. If you go to the events page of their website, you'll see that they've a number of thermal imaging camera information sessions that you can book onto in January and February. Now, the information sessions are free, and it's also free to borrow a camera. However, a security deposit is needed when you borrow the camera, which is returned the next day when you return the camera. So book your place at one of the information sessions where you'll find out everything you need to know before using one of the thermal imaging cameras to actually see where heat is escaping from your house. It's really as good as that. And again, I'll make sure that I put the link to the Sustainable St Albans events page into the notes that go with the podcast of this show and that you'll find on the podcast page of mix926.com. Before I go, thank you so much to everyone who has already sent me their voice messages telling us about their nature highlights from 2025. They are, you know, they're so good. They are so fantastic and so varied as well. I'm so looking forward to sharing them with you in the Environment Matters over Christmas and New Year. So do look out for those. Now, if you haven't got round to sending me your nature highlight from 2025, then I think I can just squeeze a couple more in. All you need to do is to send me a recording or a voice message telling listeners what your nature highlight was this year and why it particularly made an impression on you. I'm so looking forward to hearing what you have to say. I'll be with you at the same time next week, but until then, thank you for listening.